Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 40% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Zach and Josh, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Hour number two of the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show rolls along here. Zach Baccio had to go catch himself a flight. So you've got Zach Jones and Josh Schmidt hanging with you guys here for the next hour as we get you ready for Sabres Live. No Bills practice today. It is a travel day as they head over to Pittsburgh. They'll be there for the next few days. Joint practice tomorrow afternoon. I think around 2 o'clock in the afternoon is when it's going to start, about 2 hours at Ecuador Stadium. No fans in the stands, which, you know.
Expected.
Take it or leave it. I think I'm fine with it. I will tell you, though, Josh, big fan. Big fan of joint practices. Big fan.
Ooh, yeah. We were talking about this yesterday with the Patriots. And their
whole, love that. I've come around to it.
Their whole, you know, if you fight, you're not going to play. Or if you're a starter, you're going to play the whole game.
I've come around to it.
I love it.
I really like
it. I love
it.
It's a great way to deter it. But then also, if it does happen, then you get, you know, some drama. More drama than already you have with the fighting.
I think the thing is, too, I just don't want a part of my team. Like, I don't want McDermott to come out and be like, if anyone fights, like, it's the same thing. I don't want that.
No.
I don't want that at all.
But I am interested, like, how this would affect the way, like, how is this going to, how did that affect the way, or how will that affect the way the Patriots do their joint practices with the Eagles?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, how is that, if that was under the Bills, would we see them play differently in this little joint practice? Obviously, we wouldn't see it.
Yeah. No, I think for the most part, I think it is just one of those you throw it out there and you hope it works, because that has been basically my only issue with joint practices, is that there's oftentimes there's fights and they're big. And I think that's more or less why that's there, is it's a deterrent. I don't know if it's necessarily going to change how people play at practice, what have you. I know there's pretty aggressive rep yesterday between, I think it was a Patriots wide receiver and an Eagles cornerback. Nothing came of it, but, you know, clearly they were both going after it.
It was borderline.
Yeah, it was borderline. But I think for the most part it's fine. I think it's just, again, it's a deterrent to avoid fighting. I don't love, though, that the Bills are only doing one day this week. I was under the impression, and this is bad by me, I thought it was a whole week-long thing. That, like, Monday they maybe have off, and then Tuesday, you know, through Thursday they were going to have joint practices. I didn't realize it was a single workout, which now I don't love. Like, I was all in for this, and then I found it out this week, and I'm like, oh. Well, why? What's the point?
This is also the first time the Bills have done it since 2019.
With Carolina, right, I believe?
Yeah, so it is unusual for the Bills to do it, which, you know, I'm okay with, because in a way, you're letting teams kind of see what you do. Granted, you're not going to reveal much in practice, but you're still going to...
you're still going to run the practice correctly.
Yeah, you're still going to give them a bit of your offensive scheme, essentially.
Sure.
Like, they're going to get a scouting report on you directly in front of them with every single set of eyes on you.
Right,
so it's, it's not like they're, you know... I don't know. I like the fact that the Bills are kind of closed doors on that stuff.
Okay.
I appreciate
the secrecy
in some ways.
Can't stand it.
With practice, I completely understand it.
Can't stand it.
What do you mean?
I cannot stand it.
With
I both want my team to be like an open door policy, where like you have this feeling that you're learning every bit of information you need. And also, as we've mentioned about sports documentaries, I want a complete closed door policy. I'm an enigma, Josh. I'm contradicting myself, and it's fine.
Make up your mind.
No, but all honesty, I like these joint practices. I like them better than preseason games. I would do away with those, and this is where I kind of like this. And you know, you practice alone, you're just your team for like 2 weeks, and then you have different joint practices, not within the division, but teams close by. So I'd like to see the Bills do joint practices with Pittsburgh and Cleveland, and, you know, if you want to, Chicago as well, because that's, you know, relatively close. Detroit's another close one, you know, something along those lines.
Philadelphia would be fun.
Philadelphia would be a good one, but like something like that, where it's, you know, relatively close teams, you're doing the joint practices together, what have you, and do away with the preseason games. It's the drama that I want like a closed door policy on. The bad stuff I don't want
to
know.
See, I'm open to the drama. I'm more, I like the drama. I'm one that likes to see what happens. But I'm more closed on, I don't want some other team to know what my team is going to do. Please stay away.
Yeah.
Like,
speaking of drama and the sports documentaries, though, did you get to watch last night's episode of Hard Knocks? I'm not surprised, because HBO was super late to it.
Right. I saw all of that happening on Twitter last night, and then I saw the Browns tweet out, "It's here, finally." It's like
deeply frustrating.
Yeah,
as someone that wasn't going to watch it live, but like, you know, and I'm full transparency. I'm rewatching HBO's Rome. I'm having a great time with it, but I'm already on HBO, and I'm like, all right, we're going to finish this episode. I don't want to burn through all of season one tonight. New episode of Hard Knocks is on. Let's go to it. Oh, it's not loading yet. What's going on? Oh, Twitter's telling me that it's just it's not there. Cool, great. Now my night's ruined. I wake up this morning, I'm watching it. It's not bad. It is the Bills preseason game episode. I'm already missing the Giants Hard Knocks, though. I'm already missing it. Like, Roman Dunze, he had like a good like rookie, like you go up and like, you know, do something funny or sing or what have you. He sang. It was awesome. That was fun. But like, I'm missing the offseason edition. It's so significantly better that I'm just like, man, like I'm bored again. I'm bored again. And we're two episodes in. And I feel for Bears fans there, too, because, you know, I think it was one of the highest premieres Hard Knocks has had in like, 10 years or something like that for their first episode. And I watched it. I watched it opening night. But now I'm, like, immediately bored. And it's not for, like, a lack of personalities. I think Eberflus is interesting. Caleb Williams and Rome Odunze, of course, are interesting. You know, they've got some of their young rookie guys. Their rookie quarterback for this year, he was undrafted. His name's Austin Reed. He had a funny moment in last night's episode, because one of the challenges that McDermott had in the fourth quarter took away a completion for Reed, and he was upset about it. And I found that funny. I mean, he upset about it, you know, in quotations. He was making a joke of it, but he's like, he's trying to take away the burn. And I was like, oh my gosh. That's exactly how I reacted to that. Of like, dude, like, it's the preseason.
I didn't watch the episode, so guilty here. But did we see much on Jamestown native tight end? I can't remember his name.
No.
I have to
There's nothing really there on him. His name is, I think it's Steven Carlson.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Nothing really on him at all.
I was just curious because, I mean, you know, maybe Hard Knocks would go in on that since it's the first preseason games in Buffalo and second, technically.
Which, I mean, it's fine. I understand. He's like their fifth, sixth tight end.
Still, I mean.
Hoping to make the roster kind of deal. Yeah. I get it. You know, you're hoping for him because, yeah, he's a relatively local guy.
Would have been a cool little feature.
Oh, yeah.
Just like for like a few minutes.
But that's the thing is like there's just. I'm so used to the Hard Knocks formula that I'm just like, meh. Like, I immediately went on my phone about 10 minutes in. Yeah. I was like, yeah, this is what it is.
Right. That's why I think I wonder if they should start doing almost a rotating schedule where 1 year you get this version where it's training camp. The next year you get off season, which, you know, everyone seemed to love. And then the year after that you get the in season one.
Yeah.
I don't know if they'd ever do that just because of the popularity of it. Because there are people out there that love it and watch it every single episode fully
enthralled. Well, Bears Twitter was upset last night. So you understood that Bears fans wanted to see their team.
Well, right. I mean, understandably so. You have the newest quarterback phenom paired with a great wide receiver.
And the episode was late.
So this is kind of their return to relevance, I guess, if you want to put it that way.
That feels right. The Bears are like a known commodity. Like everyone knows the Bears. Like, of course.
Right. Yeah.
But for the last few years, like, it's just been like, they're so behind the eight ball when it comes to offense, modern football, everything. Again, my favorite stat, which is going to go away over under 2.5 years, is that they've never had a 4,000-yard passer.
Under. It's going to happen next year.
I know.
It's going to happen next year.
I know.
If not... I mean, this year's a long shot, but next year it will happen.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt.
I'm not thrilled about it. It's going to go down.
Yeah, but...
And then my favorite stat's gone. Kaboom.
But, wouldn't it be hilarious if next year Caleb Williams throws for 3,999
yards? That's my hope.
That's my dream. It'd be
like,
so
that,
good.
Like, rushing he does so well that, like, he's still really good, but he can't pass the passing number. Jay Cutler... His last year in Denver threw for like 4,500 yards. He gets to Chicago, never breaks it again. He had Brandon Marshall as a wide receiver, never breaks it. That franchise is cursed. I can't wait to see how Caleb Williams deals with it.
That curse
is serious.
He is going to throw a 99-yard touchdown at the end of the season, and it's going to get called back.
Oh, that's going to take away the 4,000-yard season.
And then the game's going to end.
It's my favorite stat. I never want it to leave because it is so synonymous too with the Bears. Like, specifically, they're a team that, like, Sid Luckman is a quarterback that they can, like, look to highly, and he played in the 40s. Or, like, Jim McMahon, because he led them to the 1985 Super Bowl, even though it was Walter Payton in a defense. And, like, sometimes Willie Gault playing well. They're such an enigma in modern football. And I'm not saying every team has to have great, you know, quarterbacks or anything like that. Ultimately, you know, Joe Montana and Steve Young did not throw for 4,000-yard passing seasons. Brock Purdy now holds the record for the highest passing yards in a season for the 49ers with like 4,300. So, it's still somewhat of a new stat, I guess, right? But in terms of the modern era, in terms of an era that has been going on for at least 20 years now of offense first, for them to be so behind in it, I find that super fun. I really, really do. I find that super fun. And look, I'm happy for Bears fans. They're going to finally get like a little bit of a taste of the modern era. But man, it's kind of annoying for me personally. For no one else, but for me personally. And then you know what else is annoying, Josh? And I do want to touch on this because it's been something we've all talked about for months now.
I have an annoying thing super fast.
Yeah.
Ayuk? No. It is about another offensive wide receiver, though. I'd like to clear the air in this morning in my updates. I was saying that Tavon Austin recorded 102 touchdowns in his career. I would like to clear the air that I do not think that he did that. I was looking at the football reference page for him. Right next to touchdowns is first downs. As I'm scrolling down with my eyes, I look over and I see, wow, 102 touchdowns. That's really impressive.
That's tough.
It was 102 first downs in his career.
That is tough.
So I would like to clear the air. Anyone out there that's listening that was laughing or yelling at me during my updates this morning, I'm sorry. It was early when I wrote that update, and my eyes weren't fully awake yet, and I was like, oh, wow, he had 102 touchdowns. That's really impressive. I did not know that. Yeah, no, he didn't.
That's tough.
He very much did not.
With that being said, though, real quick on Tavon Austin.
He had 16, by the way.
He had 16?
16 receiving touchdowns and 10 rushing touchdowns.
Tavon Austin, yeah. Do you remember his college career at West Virginia?
Do I remember? Zach, I watched the highlight reel over and over and over again yesterday when it was announced he retired. That highlight reel.
He was so much fun.
If you ask anyone the most hyped up college player, it's him. Without a doubt.
Oh man.
Because of his highlight reel, it's him.
Who is the most, in that era? He's up there. Geno Smith is up there.
Yeah, but Tavon Austin, though, that highlight reel, I mean, I got to see how many hits it has on YouTube. Because it better be over, like, a few million. Oh,
DeAnthony Thomas, though, of Oregon. Black Mamba.
Yeah.
He's got to get a shout, too. There's a few of those college players, though. West Virginia actually has a number of, like, great college players that never had a shot in the NFL. Pat White is another one.
Do you know how many views this highlight reel for Tavon Austin has?
How many?
24 million.
That's too many.
No, it's
not.
That
feels like too many.
It should be more.
Should
24 million. And this was put out 11 years ago.
All right. Well, I mean, yeah, you've had time to kind of.
This. No, but I bet you. I wonder how many of those came in the first, like, year.
Those teams were so much fun. Those early 2000s.
There was a comment from
the early 2010 teams.
There's a comment from 14 hours ago. Had to come back and watch it now that he's retired. What an amazing athlete. I'm happy I got to experience it firsthand.
I mean, yeah.
People are still devoted to this video. This is great.
I mean, I get it. DeAnthony Thomas, though. Those Oregon teams with Chip Kelly, a lot of fun. That was also like peak Pac-12 football, where Oregon would be like 12-0, clearly going to the national championship game, what have you, and then they lose to like a 5-win Stanford team. I'm going to miss the Pac-12 dearly. We talk about Sabres after dark. Pac-12 after dark was a fever dream most of the time.
It'll be back.
Because it really was like, here's Utah, 11-0. They look amazing. Are they going to break through and go to the BCS National Championship? Nope. A 2-0 Oregon State team just beat them on Saturday night. On the East Coast, it's 2 in the morning. It was the best. The best. Oh, man. So many fun times. Not so fun time. I want to hit on this real quick, the Brandon Ayuk stuff. Can San Francisco just make a decision? Really, anyone there make a decision, please. I'm so done.
Like, at this point, I would just be happy with the Steelers being like, yeah, no, this is too much, never mind.
We're moving on.
Yeah, just somebody please make a concrete decision, whether it be Ayuk saying, I want out for sure, goodbye. Whether it be San Francisco saying, you know what, we're just not going to pay you. Or, hey, this is the one thing you want, and it's really small and insignificant, and it's going to, you know, make us look silly anyways.
Yeah.
Let's just give it to you. Who cares? Just come back and be amazing.
But I look at it, too, and it feels like San Francisco is so desperate to keep this core together, even if they can't necessarily afford it.
Why?
The Super Bowl window. I mean, like, they're dominating
the
NFC.
It's always open with Kyle Shanahan.
I don't think it is.
We talked about this a few weeks ago, and I was one that said, how much more of a leash does Kyle Shanahan have? It was kind of a facetious question because I think it's pretty much infinite.
I don't think it is. I think it is now at a point where you've had two okay quarterbacks that you've paid a lot of money to. You've had to move off of one. You're going to pay Purdy a lot of money. You're eventually going to move off of him because guys like Jordan Love and Caleb Williams, J.J. McCarthy looked pretty good in preseason game number one. We'll see about that meniscus tear, though, and if he loses most of his rookie year.
But if San Francisco...
He might be a guy, though, that's okay for him to sit back, learn Kevin O'Connell's offense, and then come in year two.
If San Francisco can get back on track in drafting, though, I don't think it's...
They're fine with drafting. They just... But the quarterback pick they made, Trey Lance, disaster.
Mm-hmm.
He did not look good at all with Dallas on week one.
If that pick hit... This Ayuk situation wouldn't matter.
Well, I think, because it's ultimately different because you have the quarterback. Right. I think that's my thing is the coach does not keep your window open forever. I think it's keeping the quarterback that you have.
In their eyes, I feel like they think they have their quarterback.
See, I think they're desperate. Because they know they're going to have to pay $55 plus million to Purdy, knowing full well, likely in the back of their minds, he is not driving this offense.
Think about Dak Prescott, though. What if Dak Prescott becomes available and you just move
off
Brock Purdy?
You had to pay him $60 million.
Yeah, but that's a lot more justifiable than Brock Purdy.
Sure, but I think Dak is also one of these. And I love Dak Prescott. I think he should have won the MVP last year. I think he also needs like a high volume, you know, wide receiver who's great. CeeDee Lamb, Dez Bryant in the beginning parts of his career, a great O-line to really get the most out of him. And even then, against 500 football teams, he's a disaster. He's not very good. He's got the whole 500 teams and primetime games where he's not very good. They're in a bad spot.
If you kept Brandon Ayuk and got Dak Prescott somehow, which yeah, I don't think that's really possible, then you know that would really complete the formula, at least on paper.
Sure.
But I just think that at this point, I feel like San Francisco has to make a hard decision, and they just won't.
Well, it's a hard decision, but it's just like they've drafted two wide receivers this year. I think there is a feeling that they were going to move off of one of Brandon Ayuk or Deebo Samuel at the start of the offseason, with the feeling that it was going to be Deebo Samuel at the end of this year. Have him play here, try one more time, and then move on. You have Ricky Pearsall, you have Jacob Cowing. Now it's this feeling of, oh no, Ayuk wants to leave. It doesn't actually sound like any of the teams really jumped at the whole we'll give you a one for a one kind of deal. Teams want to add Ayuk to the team they already have, not just to do a one for one plus picks.
It also, yeah, it does depend on what Pittsburgh sends back. And from reports that we've heard, it sounds like they've upped their deal a little bit.
They've upped their deal, but doesn't sound like it's Pickens that's a part of it.
Right. Yeah, but why would it be?
Well, and that's the thing.
You know,
I'm not doing a one for one trade plus also throwing in like a second round pick.
Yeah.
Plus then paying this Ayuk guy almost $30 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe he won't pass that, but there's a good chance he does.
All right. Well, we were just talking about quarterbacks. What are the odds that Justin Fields is on the radar for the 49ers?
Good. Not good.
It wouldn't be a good deal, but
he takes so many silly sacks, dude.
But what are the odds that a quarterback is on their radar? And it's not Russell Wilson. There's no way they would try to trade for Russell Wilson.
No, because he's also in his mid-30s. You're not really building anything there.
They're looking for young. But
I think that's the thing, is they're going to ride with Purdy as long as they can with this core, mm-hmm, knowing full well that this aging core, and is aging, outside of Fred Warner and Brock Purdy, and for now, Brandon Ayuk, a lot of their core pieces are aging. We haven't even talked about Trent Williams, their starting right tackle, is holding out.
Yeah.
He also wants a new deal.
Right.
It feels like San Francisco, after all these years of dominating the NFC, I mean, every year they've made the playoffs with Kyle Shanahan, they've at least made it to the NFC Championship game. They've missed the playoffs twice due to massive injuries to core pieces on their team, including quarterback. But every time they've made the playoffs under Shanahan, they've made it as far as the NFC Championship game.
It
feels like that, though, that run in the NFC is, mm-hmm, ending. You have basically the entire NFC North, at worst, has hope. Minnesota is not a great team, but I think they have hope. The other three potentially are very good. In your own division, the Rams, kind of another year after their sort of tear down, rebuild it back up. Seattle, potentially. I don't, you know.
That's a whole
other
question mark.
Arizona with Marvin Harrison Jr. and now Kyler Murray coming back.
I just look at their quarterback situation, and if they're not 100% sure on Brock Purdy, we saw what they did with the Trey Lance situation, where it was, well, Trey Lance is here, let's just hold on to him for a little while. Oh, look, a team came calling and gave us a better deal. Let's just rip the Band-Aid off and get rid of it. But if for some reason Pittsburgh is offering them Justin Fields and they think, hey, maybe that's a solution if we don't want to sign Brock Purdy, or if he falls apart and it's the dream experiment, whatever, is over, then you kind of have a safety net. Because right now, I don't even know who their backup is.
I want to say it's C.J. Beathard, and I know I'm wrong, because I think he's on Jacksonville.
I don't know if it really matters. It's Brandon Allen and Josh Dobbs.
Oh, Josh Dobbs. Come on.
So
that's a plan right there.
So, I mean, but look, like, Brock Purdy's not a for-sure thing. I don't know.
If you ask me,
I don't know. I think in their eyes, it might take one more year to be, yep, this is legit. It's not just a flash in the pan sort of thing. Because we've seen a lot of flash in the pans from rookies. It's not an uncommon thing in any sport.
Yeah, but and now he's done it through 2 years of looking, all right, pretty solid. But for me, it's more just, I think San Francisco, top to bottom, is the most talented roster in football. Mm-hmm. It is also an older, or the key core is older, and I think it's allowed because Kyle Shanahan is effectively your OC. He's gotten the most out of every quarterback he's worked with, getting the most out of you. Brock Purdy's not a bad quarterback by any
means. No, and I'm not saying that.
I think he's bang average, though.
Yeah, I'm not saying he's bad. I'm not saying he's going to be bad. But I wonder, is it sustainable? Is it going to be like this every single year? And especially if you lose Brandon Ayuk, it's not sustainable.
The reports I see from 49ers camp, I think Grant Cohen is the one I've seen the most, is he's like, they don't have a deep ball without him.
Yeah.
He's like their one true like separator wide receiver that can stretch the field.
Right.
And he's gone, and like they have no deep ball.
And I think that's where we also get to the conversation of it's just a stupid idea for them to trade Brandon Ayuk or let him go.
Oh, it's an atrocious idea.
But I think it's so hard to make sense of any sort of trade. That's why the only thing I could think of was quarterback, because
I think they're strapped for cash though. I think that's really the big thing, is they know they're going to have to pay Purdy, and they're going to. Like we've seen this with team over team, even when we say I wouldn't pay him. They pay him. They're going to end up doing that. And they'd rather, I think in their minds, lose Ayuk, knowing we've drafted two receivers in this draft class. Hopefully, you know, both of them together can kind of make up Ayuk's production, at least in the rookie year, and we'll pay Purdy next offseason. Because remember, he obviously does not have the fifth-year option. He was a seventh-round pick.
You're right. Yeah.
It's just it feels like the end is coming for them, because everybody in the NFC has finally started to catch up to them.
That's the only thing, though, why I was saying quarterback, is because if you look at Pittsburgh's just overall team, obviously the first thing that San Francisco is going to want is George Pickens, and that's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
If you're Pittsburgh and you trade George Pickens for Brandon Ayuk, that's just stupid.
It's a one for one. You're in the same spot.
Right. No one's improving except for San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
And that's even maybe, because then they're still going to have to pay George Pickens in, what, a year? 2 years?
2 years, yeah.
Yeah. So there isn't much wiggle room for players that they need to acquire. They don't need anything on defense. I mean, sure, they could get somebody, but they don't need somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And anyone they would try to get that's the value of Ayuk is too much money, because they're already strapped for cash. So that's the only reason why I looked at a guy like Justin Fields. Because if you're San Francisco trying to get value, that's probably the only player that they may be willing to part with to get the value. But we have to remember, Justin Fields got traded earlier in the offseason for what? Like a third? A fourth?
Not even, yeah.
Yeah. So,
and I think his value just isn't there. I don't think it's very high at all. Just in the first preseason game, you saw he takes ridiculous sacks. For every positive, there's like four negatives.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not very good.
That's why, like, at the end of the day, like I said, like, there's no way to make sense of a trade that would work out for the 49ers.
Yep.
Any trade would work out for the Steelers, because you're getting Brandon Ayuk.
Yeah.
Unless you're giving up George Pickens, you win the trade. But if you're the 49ers and you're in this situation, there's no way that a trade makes sense, except for the fact that, well, we literally can't keep him. We have to trade him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, like I said, there's no way to make sense of this trade.
Yep. Got to take a quick time out here. When we come back, we'll listen to Bills defense coordinator Bobby Babbitt, who did speak with the media earlier this morning. Although, we'll note, no update yet on the health of Matt Milano. Babbitt instead pushing that towards Sean McDermott. That is normal. The head coach does give the injury updates. He won't speak, though, until tomorrow. But we will hear the rest of Babbage's comments after a quick timeout. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you, and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Oh, it's such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Welcome back, everyone. Zach Jones and Josh Schmidt here on hour number two of the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It's brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Off day for the Buffalo Bills as a travel day. They're heading down to Pittsburgh to get ready for a joint practice with the Pittsburgh Steelers tomorrow afternoon. Bills head coach Sean McDermott is expected to meet with the media tomorrow, either before that or after that. But today, we did hear from Bills defensive coordinator Bobby Babich, and here is him meeting with the media.
The preseason is an opportunity for growth. There's a lot of growth opportunities for us, and that's what it is. And I think Sean said it, we didn't play to our standard, and that was pretty clear. And we just got to make sure we play to that standard, and we know what that is and what that looks like. So really excited to see, the growth that we need to happen this week, and look forward to it.
Thank you so much.
You got it.
Hey, Bobby. I was wondering what you've seen out of Jamarcus Ingram, just kind of his development and what kind of player he's been through this training camp.
Jamarcus, his development is really, to me, one of the cool things that when you coach, you've got different tiers of players, but here's a guy who I believe came to tryout camp. I believe came in at like 170 pounds, as tall as he is, and, put in so much work and grinded and worked while he waited and those type of things. And it's just really cool to see a guy like Jamarcus, really growing and developing in a way that you see clear dividends from the hard work he's put in. And it's really cool, really proud of Jamarcus. He's got to continue to keep going and keep getting better. And, that is one example of what you love to see from a coach's perspective and pouring into a player.
What is it about his personality that kind of leads to that growth and to that, you know, just overcoming stuff?
I think the determination and the commitment that he has shown, and the relentlessness that he has shown, I think all those things combined, you just see he's a focused individual. He's a focused individual, and he's got a goal in mind, and he puts in the work to mirror or to match that he wants to meet his goals.
Awesome. Thank you.
You got it.
Hey, Bobby, good morning. What have you seen in Dwayne Carter and his growth over this time?
Good morning. DC, like I say, we all know, he's a rookie. He's a rookie. And the intentionality of what we're trying to do, as opposed to what he maybe did in his past in different schemes coming from Duke and even from high school. So there's a picture that he needs to paint, and it's got to be painted in our way. And he's doing everything that we're asking him to do to get to the point where we need him. And like I said, man, being a rookie in this league is hard, but we obviously took him for a reason. And there has been a lot of growth in his game that we've seen. And I think a lot of the growth is in the little things that lead to the big things. So he's got to continue to grow, as we talk about all the time, and really continue to be intentional about these are the little things that need to happen for me to help this defense and this team succeed.
To follow up on that, might that be why we saw so much of him in the preseason opener, just to get him that reps and the time on task, as you guys like?
Yeah, and reps are great. I mean, reps are the best thing. Live reps are, as long as there is a purpose in each snap and there is a focus and there is a goal in mind on what each call tells you and the end result that we're looking for, defense is reactionary. So there's a lot of things that could happen. But obviously framing your mindset along with your play in and play out is definitely part of the reps. Definitely of what young guys, new guys to the Bills need.
Thanks, Bobby.
You got it.
Good morning, Bobby. Thanks for taking a few minutes today. You know, your linebacker situation, we talked so much about Terrell and Matt and, you know, how excited you guys are to see them together. Behind them, though, you know, with Tyrell now in Seattle, what have you seen from that group and anybody specifically that stands out that has had a really nice summer or somebody that you're excited about in one of those depth roles?
Yeah, what I see behind, you talked about TB and Matt, what I see behind them is new faces that are good football players and are here for a reason. A lot of talent and a lot of different skill sets behind those guys. We talk about, you know, we focus on being able to get a certain type of skill set. But within those skill sets, there's different things that guys bring to the table. Whether that's the communication piece, whether that's, hey, this guy's hands are a little bit better than this guy's hands. This guy's space play is a little bit better than this guy's space play. So, you know, that's the way I see it is yes, we're meeting a skill set, but there's a lot of different pieces and different things that guys can do in there. And they're doing a good job. A lot of new faces, as you guys know, and there is a acclimatization to the way we do things, to the way we communicate, to the way we see things, to the way we key things. So excited about those guys. And again, excited to watch continued growth happen with those guys, especially through the rest, starting today, but through the rest of this week.
Thanks, Bobby.
You got it.
Hey, Bobby, it's Jay with the Buffalo News.
Hey, Jay.
Good morning. We heard from Sean about the play calling operation and his thoughts on it. Just what was your opinion on how you thought it went for the first time calling plays the other day.
I thought it was good, but like I said, there's some things that I look at that I'm like, okay, maybe I do this a little bit different. Maybe I do this a little bit different. Bounce some things off of Sean, obviously, like I talk about all the time. But, you know, I thought the operation piece went smooth as far as what we wanted to get accomplished. Obviously, there's things that have to improve all the time. And you know, you learn every time you do something new. You learn something new, you learn something new, you learn something new. So I thought it went well. There's a couple things we wanted to accomplish as far as going into this game and getting certain things communicated, executed. And, you know, I thought things went pretty smooth with some things that I can learn from and grow from.
So, you know, it's 19-6 there in the fourth quarter, and, you know, it's still a game. How does it get away from you to get to 33-6 in your mind?
Fundamentals. Yeah. That's one of the biggest things to us is we need to make sure our fundamentals are in place first before any call can work. We stress fundamentals here. I love the way we stress fundamentals and all those type of things. When things get chaotic, you have to fall back on your fundamentals. When your fundamentals get away from you, it's hard to play the game of football. You know, I think Vince Lombardi said it a long time ago. It comes down to blocking and tackling. You know, and in our side of the ball, it comes down to getting off blocks and tackling. So fundamentals that we've stressed for a long time, you know, and it starts at the top with Sean. We just got to get back to doing the fundamentals that, you know, a lot of times we've exhibited. We need to take that from practice into a game. And that's a big focus for us.
And then lastly for me, I just wanted to ask you about two guys. What kind of growth have you seen from Javon Solomon from the start of camp until now? And then kind of what Matt was asking you earlier about the linebackers, Dorian Williams, though, in particular, that year one to year two sort of leap. Sean has talked a little bit about it, but where do you think he's at in terms of processing the defense and showing that growth in year two?
Right. I'll start with Javon, since you asked about him first. Javon's a talented football player. Again, when we go back to talking about the fundamentals carrying over from practice to the game, that's something that he needs to continue to focus on, but he's doing a good job showing us growth. There's a couple, as I say, with every player, there's a couple areas that we pinpoint that we feel like they need to focus on. And he is focused on those areas. And if we continue to see the growth, then Javon, whatever his goals are, he should be able to meet those goals. Secondly, with Dorian in the second year, showing a lot of growth, and we need to continue to see that. The more he sees things in the way we do it, the better off it's going to be. You know what I mean? So there is a constant gradual rise, and there's always going to be a dip. There's always going to be a dip. That's what happens. That's why coaches have jobs. So, and then you got to reframe. I tell it, like I think I've said it before, you're either growing or you're dying. You're never staying the same. So there's going to be moments for every player on our defense where we're going to die a little bit. We just got to pick it up on that next rep, that next day, that next practice, whatever it may be, that next meeting. And he's doing a good job of trending upwards.
Cool. Thanks for your time, Bobby.
You got it.
Good morning, Bobby. Question would be, I guess, keeping with the theme a little bit of guys getting in, new guys coming onto the scene. Gable Steveson was one of the guys that, for the first time, played in a football game. What have you seen from him, and especially heading into this week of camp?
Yeah, he's a big, strong, powerful. He is a strong and powerful guy. You might look at him, he's not the tallest guy, right? But he comes in a compact, powerful, obviously understands leverage and those type of things. I was just talking to him the other day, and I said, you know, this was before the game. I might have said this before, but I looked at him, and I'm like, I asked one of the other players, I said, how old were you when you played your first football game? They were like, 8. I said, how old are you, Gable? He's like, 24. His first game is at 24 years old in the National Football League, you know. So, you know, he had a blast. I know that we're looking for him to improve on certain things as we get into this next week. But I do know that he had a blast. I mean, it's pretty unique. He goes from, you know, wrestling and being one of the best in the world to playing in an NFL football game. So, but no, like I said, he's a powerful, strong human. And, you know, if he can continue to build on those things that are his assets, that will benefit him greatly.
Thank you for your time, Bobby.
You got it.
Hey, Coach, it's Sal.
Hey, Sal.
Just wondering, I jumped on a little late. I don't think you were asked this, but I'm sorry. I apologize if you were. What's your goal as a defensive coordinator and a coach this week when you're in Pittsburgh in the joint practice? What are you trying to accomplish and get out of it?
Here's what we want. We want to see growth from week one to week two. If you talk about preseason weeks, week one to week two. Make sure our standard is our standard, and let's see growth in each individual and in our unit from last week to this week. A great opportunity, and I think someone said it. No one in our defensive meeting room is going to tell you that we played up to our standard. That happens. But what it does provide you is a great opportunity for growth, and that's what we need to see from week one to week two. And we need to be able to take what we've shown in practice and what we do as a daily standard into a game. So we practice. Sean, you know, has a great environment and culture here to where the way we practice is what we need to do in the game. And that's what we need to see.
How important is it to have a situation, a controlled practice where you can script things and all those, so put your guys in certain situations that you want to specifically see, as opposed to a game where there's obviously benefit to doing things on the fly and not knowing the situation, but where you can do things a little differently now?
No, I think it's great. You know, and I think our guys have gone against each other a lot up to this point. You know, and they're probably sick of going against each other. You know, but, you know, just to go to a new environment, new fresh faces, you know, it just, you know, common sense tells you it's going to energize you a little bit and give you a little bit of a, you know, second wind as we are still in training camp. So, you know, I know Arthur Smith does a great job over the years, gone against him a lot. So it'll be great to go against him and the Pittsburgh offense and what he's trying to do. And in the end, it's not about who we're going against. It's about the way we do things here on our defense. And we just need to make sure that what we know works for us, we take that with us to Pittsburgh, like I said before.
Thanks.
That was Buffalo Bills defensive coordinator Bobby Babich from earlier this morning. The Bills do have an off day today for traveling down to Pittsburgh. We'll talk a little bit about more on that after a quick timeout. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Quick final segment here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Zach Jones and Josh Schmidt do want to pass on a little bit of injury news for the Kansas City Chiefs as their right tackle, Juwan Taylor, had to leave practice today in the front seat of a car. No news on actually what he injured or how, but that would be a big loss for the Chiefs, who already have big question marks at the tackle positions. That's going to do it, though, for this week for me and Josh. Sal Capaccio is going to have the rest of the week, Thursday and Friday. He's traveling down to Pittsburgh today. They have a joint practice tomorrow afternoon. And then Friday is the off day, getting ready for the game on Saturday night. Should be a lot of fun. Had a lot of fun this last week, kind of discussing preseason game number one. I'm sure we'll do more of that after the Pittsburgh game next week as well. But of course, it's only Wednesday. We've still got two more days. Sal will take you the rest of the way this week. But coming up next, after a quick timeout, Sabres Live. Still got a little bit, though, to go for hockey. Although the Prospect Challenge is less than a month away, or exactly a month away. Should be a lot of fun. All right, that's going to do it for me and Josh. You're listening to WGR.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You got it.
Good morning, Bobby. Question would be, I guess, keeping with the theme a little bit of guys getting in, new guys coming onto the scene. Gable Steveson was one of the guys that, for the first time, played in a football game. What have you seen from him, and especially heading into this week of camp?
Yeah, he's a big, strong, powerful. He is a strong and powerful guy. You might look at him, he's not the tallest guy, right? But he comes in a compact, powerful, obviously understands leverage and those type of things. I was just talking to him the other day and I said, you know, this was before the game. I might have said this before, but I looked at him and I'm like, I asked one of the other players, I said, how old were you when you played your first football game? They were like 8. I said, how old are you, Gable? He's like 24. His first game is at 24 years old in the National Football League, you know. So you know, he had a blast. I know that we're looking for him to improve on certain things as we get into this next week. But I do know that he had a blast. I mean, it's pretty unique. He goes from, you know, wrestling and being one of the best in the world to playing in an NFL football game. So, but no, like I said, he's a powerful, strong human. And, you know, if he can continue to build on those things that are his assets, that will benefit him greatly.
Thank you for your time, Bobby.
You got it.
Hey, Coach, it's Sal.
Hey, Sal.
Just wondering, I jumped on a little late. I don't think you were asked this, but I'm sorry. I apologize if you were. What's your goal as a defensive coordinator and a coach this week when you're in Pittsburgh in the joint practice? What are you trying to accomplish and get out of it?
Here's what we want. We want to see growth from week one to week two. If you talk about preseason weeks, week one to week two, make sure our standard is our standard, and let's see growth in each individual and in our unit from last week to this week. A great opportunity, and I think someone said it. No one in our defensive meeting room is going to tell you that we played up to our standard. That happens. But what it does provide you is a great opportunity for growth. And that's what we need to see from week one to week two. And we need to be able to take what we've shown in practice and what we do as a daily standard into a game. So we practice. Sean, you know, has a great environment and culture here to where the way we practice is what we need to do in the game. And that's what we need to see.
How important is it to have a situation, a controlled practice where you can script things and all those, and put your guys in certain situations that you want to specifically see, as opposed to a game where there's obviously benefit to doing things on the fly and not knowing the situation, but where you can do things a little differently now?
No, I think it's great, you know, and I think our guys have gone against each other a lot up to this point, you know, and they're probably sick of going against each other, you know, but, you know, just to go to a new environment, new fresh faces, you know, it just, you know, common sense tells you it's going to energize you a little bit and give you a little bit of a, you know, second wind as we are still in training camp. So, you know, I know Arthur Smith does a great job over the years, gone against him a lot. So it'll be great to go against him and the Pittsburgh offense and what he's trying to do. And you know, and in the end, it's not about who we're going against. It's about the way we do things here on our defense. And we just need to make sure that what we know works for us, we take that with us to Pittsburgh, like I said before.
Thanks.
That was Buffalo Bills defensive coordinator Bobby Babich from earlier this morning. The Bills do have an off day today for traveling down to Pittsburgh. We'll talk a little bit about more on that after a quick timeout. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Quick final segment here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Zach Jones and Josh Schmidt do want to pass on a little bit of injury news for the Kansas City Chiefs, as their right tackle Juwan Taylor had to leave practice today in the front seat of a car. No news on actually what he injured or how, but that would be a big loss for the Chiefs, who already have big question marks at the tackle positions. That's going to do it, though, for this week for me and Josh. Sal Capaccio is going to have the rest of the week, Thursday and Friday. He's traveling down to Pittsburgh today. They have a joint practice tomorrow afternoon. And then Friday is the off day, getting ready for the game on Saturday night. Should be a lot of fun. Had a lot of fun this last week, kind of discussing preseason game number one. I'm sure we'll do more of that after the Pittsburgh game next week as well. But of course, it's only Wednesday. We've still got two more days. Sal will take you the rest of the way this week. But coming up next, after a quick timeout, Sabres Live. Still got a little bit, though, to go for hockey. Although the Prospect Challenge is less than a month away, or exactly a month away. Should be a lot of fun. All right, that's going to do it for me and Josh. You're listening to WGR.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds.
I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom? I feel like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken care of. It took forever. And the worst part? Hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 40% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.